Psalm 139, and you should have received a little handout, and this is a little handout for you, and I think it's always good to spend a little time and just ask yourself maybe some hard questions to apply some of these truths that we're going to be talking about tonight to your own heart and life. So what we're going to do tonight is I want to encourage you that you would look at the following questions, and I'm only going to give you just a minute, but that you would be honest. This is a paper between you and yourself. This is not something you cheat on. It's not something you look over at someone. This is just between you and the Lord. And I want you to just ask maybe the first couple questions specifically. I want to give you a minute to just ponder on this and be truthful between you and God. All right, then I'll come and I will pray and we will begin our time together. All right, so let's just think about some of these things and let's have an honest evaluation between us and God. All right, you've got 1 minute. All right, who needs like another 30 seconds? Okay, we'll give you another 30 seconds. All right, while we're finishing that up, I do want to make a public announcement that I think everybody knows, but just to make sure everybody's on the same page, I didn't ask permission, but I'm going to take it for granted. Angel and Yessie are expecting, all right, a little baby in February, right? Sometime maybe, perhaps in February. So we want to praise the Lord for the gift of life that he has given, and so pray for Angel and Yessie. Is that okay that I made the announcement? Not anymore. Okay. All right. We're going to talk this evening about trusting God for who you are, for how God made you, his design. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, you are such a good and gracious God. Lord, we love you and we are thankful for you. And Lord, sometimes I know we struggle with a lot of little things in our lives and a lot of big things. And Lord, I pray that tonight that we would embrace this truth that you are the creator and that you don't make mistakes. And Lord, I pray that we would find who we are in you and not in our outward appearance or our abilities, but we would find our contentment in you. Lord, you're good. I pray that you would guide and use this message tonight in hearts. I pray that you'd apply it where you need to apply it. I pray that you would take over. And Lord, that your message would be clear tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, there are a lot of varieties of people. I'm looking out at a group of people. And even as I'm looking at you all, everyone is a little bit different. You have a different appearance. Life has handed you certain things. It's just you didn't have the choice. You were handed it. For example, some of you are on the short side. Okay, now you can't control that. You were given the chromosomes or the whatever, the genes, the genetic material, and I would call some of you on the short side. Some of you would call me on the tall side, all right? And I've noticed that you're either too short or too tall. Anybody ever notice that? It's like you're too short, too tall. Nobody's perfect. Boy, you're too tall. Boy, you're too short. I know this gets a little bit personal here, but this is not meant to be personal. All right. Some people, they can eat and eat and eat and eat anything that they want to. Doreen is elbowing Philip right now. All right. And they can eat whatever they want to and they stay skinny. All right. And some people, they look at a piece of celery and they gain weight. I mean, that's how it feels. Right. So some of you, and I know that, you know, there's also This true, you know, like we might already have a, we lean maybe one direction or another on the skinny side or maybe the thicker side, can I say that, all right, the thicker side of life, and we can overeat, right, we can overindulge, right, and we can add on the weight, but some people, no matter how much they exercise, no matter what they eat, they are never going to be as skinny as this person, and then on this side, some people are like, I'm way too skinny, I wish I could gain a few pounds. There was a time, there was, past tense, a time in my life when people said, boy, you're too skinny, you're too skinny. I never hear that anymore. Never hear that. So I don't know what. I guess I'm now perfect. I'm a perfect size now. Okay, anyway, thank you. All right. All right, so we are never, you know, the perfect size. And, you know, I find it interesting that even if you, and I'm not encouraging you to look up a Hollywood people, but it's interesting how even Hollywood people, that the people that the world looks at as, you know, they're beautiful, they're perfect, they get airbrushed, right? They get little tucks on magazines. They're not as good as they appear, all right? And I find that very interesting. I was talking with Bruce Berry and Bobby Berry. This last Monday, I was visiting with the Berries there at the Rehabilitation Center, and I don't know how we started talking about this, but Bruce said, yeah, I've got some big ears, all right, Bruce? I mean, this is what he said out of his mouth, I've got some big ears. And then Bobby said, yeah, I got some big ears. They always called me mule ears, all right? So I thought that was interesting. And then I said, you know what? The sound people in the back, they complain about my ears. My ears are so small that my wireless mic always wants to fall off. And so they give me a hard time that your ears are too small. So here we have Brother Bruce. He's got big ears. His ears are too big for the wireless. And I have two little ears. Are you following me? Is there a perfect size of ear? All right. Some of you, or some people in general, I should say, you were handed an athletic card. I mean, you're just kind of naturally athletic. Some of you, you were born with two left feet and two left hands, and you could try really hard and you could get a little bit better, but you're never going to probably make it in the NBA, okay? So there are some people that have more athletic talent and some people who have less athletic talent. And right now I'm talking about things that were handed to you, designs that were handed to you. You can't do anything about your height. I mean, I guess you could break your bones and try to stretch yourself out, but you really can't do much about your height. or, you know, a lot of these ears. How big are your ears? All right, whatever. Also, did you know that we don't get to choose our parents? Did you know that? We are born to parents. God allowed us to be born to those parents. Some of you, that was a good experience. Some of you, the truth is, you probably wouldn't say it, but the truth is that maybe your parents were pretty wicked. All right, but that was handed to you. God was the one that dictated that to you. Some of you, you grew up kind of more on the poor side, all right? Your parents struggled. Some of you were more maybe on the economically comfortable side of life. Some of you, when you went to school, it was not a trial. It was like you did all the homework. It was easy. You did all the tests. It was just straightforward. You really didn't agonize. You didn't really have to work that hard. And then some of you, you remember that school was horrible. School was hard. And you had to study and study and study. And it seemed like you never got as good grades as the person who it seemed like they never opened the book. And they got it. All right? Those, some of those things, of course, we can learn, right? We can grow. But some of these things are just handed to us. Some people are handed a lot of musical ability. And some people are straight out tone deaf. They can't hear a different tone to save their lives. They're not trying to be tone deaf. They just are tone deaf. Maybe this is on my mind, but do you realize that the teeth that that you really didn't get to choose what kind of teeth you have? And of course, this is on my mind because my wife, who takes really good care of her teeth, has horrible teeth. And I had, I think, one cavity a long time ago, and it was really shallow, and I don't take care of my teeth very well, all right? And so all of us, we're given certain things, certain characteristics, and I would say many people, and I think I could say most people struggle from time to time with accepting themselves as the person that God made them to be. And if you struggle with really accepting how you were designed, how you were created, you start to struggle with discontentment. All right? Discontentment is, I wish I could be. I wish I could look like this. I wish I could be this way. I wish I could have those talents. I wish I could have those that life. I'd be happier if you fill in the blank. I'd be happier if this was my life. I'd be happier if this is how I look. I'd be happier in this marriage. I'd be happier. And you fill in the blank. And that discontentment can propel some people towards making big changes in their lives. And one thing I was just thinking, and this is not the focus of my message this evening, all right? And you're going to be like, whew, I sure am glad. But this is where we come to, this whole not liking how God created you and really being discontent with how God created you is how the world has come to this whole gender thing, this whole gender problem that we are. Do you know that we are now saying whoever they are have called this the gender revolution? All right, and I'm sure if you've been paying attention in the media, more and more this is pushed, this whole male and female. All right, well, I'm not really a male, I want to be a female. I'm not a female, I want to be a male. And so there has been more and more of what's called gender reassignment surgery, which is a horrific sex surgery. And what's so sad is at the core of this is it is an attack on the Creator God. Amen. And I want to start here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. I want to make a quick point, and then I want to move to, I guess, more, I think, concerns and thoughts that we might face on an everyday basis. All right, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, are you there? Genesis 1, 27. It says, so God created man in whose image? In his own image. And just by the way, if you say, well, that was all lost because of sin, later on after sin in Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 9, it mentions again that we were made in the image of God. Okay, so this is something that has maintained. Now we are a polluted, a corrupted form, okay, because of sin. We are under the curse, but God has created a special. We are his special creation. He designed a special. Look at this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And then what are the next three words? Male and female. Do you see that right there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27? The Creator made people male and female, created He them. And so this whole gender horrible stuff that we are seeing in this world, it is attack on the Creator. So it is these people who are saying, I don't care what the Creator did, or they're really denying the Creator, right, completely, and they're saying, I can do with myself whatever I want to do. And you know what's sad? Is that they are actually destroying their bodies through all of this. And that's what's just really, really sad. All right, let's go to Psalm 139 and let's look at this truth that we're talking about, that God is the designer, that God is the creator. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 13. This is a psalm of David. Psalm 139, verse 13. And this is talking about God and His design. And we're saying specifically here that God made you the way He made you. And He had a purpose. And He had a plan. And God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. Psalm 139, verse 13. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you hear that? Psalm 139 says that you were wonderfully made. And I know some people, they really struggle with just, I wish I looked a different way. I wish I was a different person. I wish I had different gifts, different talents. Wait a second here. God says that He made you wonderful. And wonderfully made, marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee. When I was made in secret, and the idea is when I, inside my mother's womb here, God is the designer. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. I want to remind everybody tonight that you are a special creation of God. And that God created you uniquely and specifically. And we have to trust how God made us. And accept how God made us. I really appreciate what one preacher said here. And I want to read this. It says, you, and this is everyone in this room, you are the result of the attentive, careful, thoughtful, intimate, detailed, creative work of God. Did you hear that? It's personal. All right, He's the architect. He is drawing all the lines, and you are His subject. Okay, He created you, and you are special. Your personality, your sex, your gender, your height, your features are what they are because God made them precisely that way. He made you the way He did. Get this, because that's the way He wants you to be. If God had wanted you to be basically and creatively different, He would have made you different, right? Your genes and chromosomes and distinctives, even the shape of your nose and ears are what they are by God's design. Right. All right, your nose, your ears, every part of you, they are shaped by God's design. All right, go over to Job chapter 10. I just want to emphasize this same truth. Job chapter 10. Chapter 10, Job 10 and verse 8, and we hear the same truth. I want to emphasize to you that God is the creator. Job 10, verse 8 says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet Thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech Thee, that Thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt Thou bring me into dust again? Hast Thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Now, here we see a struggle, right? There's a struggle going on. But what I want to emphasize is that that Job is saying, God made me special. He created me special. He knit me together. He made my bones. All right, go over to Psalm 119 and verse 73. Psalm 100 19, the 119th division of Psalms, 119 and verse 73. It says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." God's hands made you. He formed you. Go over to Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. I just want to emphasize this same truth here, that God's the creator. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Emphasizing that God knew Jeremiah before he even existed, we would say. And he formed him, and he had a plan for him. He'd set him apart for a special task. This is the designer whose name is God. Now go over to Psalm. Go back to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Now remember, the psalmist is David, and the Bible tells us some things about David. The Bible actually tells us, often we don't know how someone looked, about someone's appearance, but the Bible tells us that David was actually a pretty good-looking guy. The Bible actually says that he had a handsome appearance. The Bible also tells us, it reveals to us, that he had some musical ability, right? He also seemed to be a pretty strong warrior. A pretty talented leader. He was given, I would say, a lot of talents, a lot of what we would call good characteristics, right. A good personality. But notice the emphasis of verse 14. What's the emphasis? It's not, "I'm wonderful." It is, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." David praises God not for his looks and not for his talents. He praises God simply that God created him. Are you seeing the difference? That God created him. That he was the special creation of God. I believe we have two extremes in our society. And sometimes I think we as Christians, we fall into one of these two extremes. One extreme over here is, "Look at me. Look at me. I'm so beautiful." Or there's a phrase that I really despise. And maybe I'll just say this for the teenagers and kids. And I'll just say, "You shouldn't talk this way." But here's how the world says, "I'm sexy," right? And I've heard Christians say this. And just by the way, that is not a good phrase for a Christian to use.
Right.
All right? Because there's just, should we really have this sex appeal? Is that really what we're going for in the world that we live in? But here's how the world, okay, says, "Look at me, I'm beautiful, I'm handsome, I'm talented, I'm funny, I'm athletic, I'm gifted, I'm smart." What's the problem there? That person is taking credit for themselves. And they are diminishing the Creator. Look at me. Look at who I am. And the funny thing is, the interesting thing is, who created them? Who gave them the talent? Who gave them the looks? It was God, right? And they're diminishing God by saying, "Look at me. Look at how wonderful I am." And then there's the other extreme. And the other extreme is, "I'm nothing. I'm fat. I'm ugly. I'm pathetic. I can't do anything. I am ungifted. I'm the ugly duckling with two left feet." And what are you doing that? What are you doing when you say that kind of stuff? You are, once again, you're denying the truth that God created you specially and specifically. That's the words I'm trying to use, specially and specifically. So here's the truth. The truth is that you and I, you are distinctly woven together, put together. God gave you your personality. God allowed you to have certain strengths and certain weaknesses. God created you special. I am who I am. You are who you are because God, who had direct control, he created and designed you. And if we're going to trust God, that means we're going to have to trust God with how God made us and who God made us. And your looks, your appearance, and your gifts, and maybe the lack of gifts. You're going to have to trust God for who you are. In other words, when I say I am content or I'm going to trust God for who he made me to be, this is what I'm saying. I would rather be what God chose to make me than the most glorious creature that I could think of. Did y'all get that? You know, sometimes we think in our minds like, well, if I was only like that, then I'd be happier, right? But when we really accept that God created me, specially and uniquely, what are we saying? I'd rather be exactly what God created me than anyone else or anything else. God thought about me, He designed me, and He put me together. So I have a question. And we could go down this road a long time. We could make this a lot longer message, but I'm going to try to keep it precise here tonight. What about the big major deficiencies? We would call them deficiencies. You say, what are you talking about? Go over to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And remember, our focus is trusting God for who you are, for how God designed you, for how God created you. We're not saying that we are content in our sin. Don't get me wrong here. But we are content in the design of God. All right, Exodus chapter 4. This is where God was talking to Moses, telling Moses, I've got a plan for you. And this is what Moses says, verse 10, Exodus 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And what did God say? And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, the people who can't speak at all, or deaf, people who can't hear, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Did you just hear that verse? God's the one who created you. God created your mouth. Now, most commentaries, they would say, you know, I think that they would say, probably Moses was just given an excuse. He didn't really want to be God's spokesman here. That's possible. But do you know what's also possible? That Moses really did have a real speech problem. He really did have a real speech impediment. Wouldn't that be interesting? And God is saying, I don't care. I'm telling you what to do, and you do what I want you to do, and you remember that I made your mouth, and I don't make any mistakes. Now that's interesting. And I think it's going to be interesting when we go to heaven and we'll know whether or not Moses had a real speech impediment or not, or if he was just given a lousy excuse. We don't know, but maybe he did. I was thinking just what the peppers say about this lady who maybe has some speech problems. All right, who made the mouth? God made the mouth. Go over to John chapter 9. And this, I want to tell you that sometimes this is some tough stuff. What we are looking at is some tough and challenging stuff. John chapter 9. Because sometimes it doesn't seem fair. I'm going to put this in quotation marks. Doesn't seem fair. And this is where we have to trust God. John chapter 9. It says, and as Jesus passed by, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, they assumed, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I've mentioned this passage several times. Y'all know the answer, right? Neither one sinned specifically for him to be punished by blindness. That was the answer. Jesus answered, verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Do you know what he just said? I created this man, I created his eyes, and for a purpose, he is blind. Did God make a mistake? No. He did not make a mistake. So when we struggle with who we are and how God created us and even our limitations, our struggle often is we start comparing ourselves with one another. Sometimes we get jealous. Sometimes we get proud. We can often get so discontent. And I want to say this, you will struggle, I will struggle with jealousy, pride, and discontentment until you just accept the way God made you. That I am a specially and specifically designed person made by Almighty God. And you know what I find interesting here? Is that this whole design idea and the differences that we all have and the varieties is even mentioned when Paul starts talking about the church and the talents in the church and the specific things that God has given for the church. Let's look over there in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4. You're familiar with this passage, but I want you to see it. See it through this lens here. That God has created you for who you are. And kids and teenagers, I encourage that you would really listen. Because this is a big deal, right? Because, you know, the popular kids, they're all the ones that look good, or they have all these abilities, or all these talents, or they're funny. Wait a second here. Embrace how God designed you. And what's important is that you accept how God designed you and how God created you and how God put you together. God doesn't make any mistakes. Look at Romans 12, verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, many people, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another." What's it talking about? We're all different. But we're all valuable. We're all important in the house of God. And we all have different resources and talents and ideas and thoughts. And the beautiful thing is that if we, humanly speaking, were in charge, it'd be chaos. But because God is putting it all together, there can be a beautiful work of God. There can be a beautiful church made up of all different varieties of people. If we accept that God's the one who created individuals and God's the one who gave individuals gifts and talents, and we accept the way God created other people and we accept the way God created us. Again, I'm not saying that we don't fight sin. I'm just saying we're accepting God's design in our lives. I want to be honest and open here in this time of trusting God. And I just want you to know my heart is not, I'm not offended, and I don't remember anybody saying this to me any time in the last century, okay? But I just know that this has been said, okay? And so I don't want anybody to say, "I said that to you 10 years ago, will you please forgive me?" Please, I don't want to know, okay? This is not personal, I'm just being honest and open, okay? As a preacher, as a pastor. There have been a few people over the years, and I don't know who they are. I really don't. Maybe I've blocked them out of my mind. I don't know. But there's these subtle things that people say sometimes, and it's like, "Preacher, you know, you're not like that other preacher." Now, sometimes they're saying that in a positive way, but sometimes I've been a little bit compared to, "Well, you're not Charles Stanley." Amen. I am not Charles Stanley, right? I mean, he's a good preacher. He's a good expositor. Or, "You're not like my old preacher." Or, "You know, that evangelist who came through, he was awesome." Now we get stuck with you again, right? That's the idea. Or, "You know, why can't you be like that pastor at that large, great church down the road?" You know, and you know, here is where I'm just trying to apply this openly here. On my best day, I know this, I'm never going to be the most eloquent preacher. Even in the deacon's meeting, somebody said, "You didn't say that right." All right, Brother Garris, why are you laughing, brother? Never be the most eloquent preacher. I will never probably have the best message. Maybe I'll have one of these days. But you know what my job is? It is simply to be faithful, right? To grow, to work hard, to study, to show myself approved, to always be growing, right, and using my gifts and resources, but also to embrace the way God made me. I'm not like that person down the road, and I can't be. And if I try to be, you know what I just did? I failed to embrace how God designed me, how God created me. Right. And that preacher down the road might be able to reach 1,000,000,000 people. But you know what? God has somebody for me to reach personally, right? And we all have, and I'm applying it to myself openly in front of you, and we all have, if we just embrace who we are instead of trying to compare ourselves with other people around us, just let God use you for who you are. Amen. And you don't have to compare yourself with everyone else. I want to ask you a question between you and God. Are you accepting? Are you living out this truth? Are you accepting how God designed you? Now, there are a lot of questions we could talk about, right? A lot of specific questions that can come up right now. And right now, I'm just giving you like this big filter that you put everything, all these specific questions through this filter of God is the creator. God is the designer. And I must be content with who God made me to be. Are you following me? Because there's lots of questions that we could talk about. Lots of specific things like, should I have plastic surgery? All right, things like that. Did I just say that from the pulpit? All right, things like that should go through the filter of God designed me. God created me. Who am I? And I need to embrace how God made me. So what's the conclusion? How do I apply this for everyday life? Number one, trust God for your design. And when he designs you, and this is a good way, I'm saying this in a good way, he threw away the mold, right? It's not because it was a bad mold. It was that he only used it one time. And everybody's DNA is special and unique. He made you, and then he threw that mold away, and he got another mold for the next person. Okay? God designed you, and we can trust God for how God made us, for who God designed us to be. So, on your little paper, and I know I was asking you questions, and I was trying to get you to tell on yourself. I know that, all right? What one thing about yourself would you really like to change? And maybe you were honest, maybe you weren't honest, all right? Maybe you said, I am wonderful in every way because God designed me, all right? That would be a good, I guess, good answer. God designed me. How about God designed me, and so I'm okay, all right? I don't know. But what I'm saying here is this. How do we embrace this truth? Take that first question, your answer. And instead of maybe saying, man, I wish I was blank, maybe be like, thank you, God, for this characteristic. Thank you for my big ears. Thank you for my little ears. Thank you for my big leg or my short leg. All right. You know what? In other words, thank God for the little things, how God made you. And accept how God made you, how God designed you. And when we accept how God made us, when we are accepting his design, you know what? We are embracing contentment, right? We are saying, okay, God, I'm okay with how you made me. And how you made me, I'm going to now serve you. And it shouldn't be about us, which is why we also need to embrace humility, right? Maybe you think, hey, I'm pretty good stuff. Wait a second here. No, you're just a wonderful creation of God. And if you struggle with your identity and who you are and I'm not good enough, I just want to remind you, you are a wonderful creation of God. So you embrace contentment and embrace humility, trusting God for his design. And then I think there's one more truth. As we talk about this, is there some really tough troubles and trials of life? There are. And in this world, probably we're going to struggle with the contentment issue. And this is where we have a hope, right? A blessed hope. That if you know Christ as Lord and Savior, there is going to be a wonderful eternity. And you know what is in eternity? Everything is perfect. You're going to look perfect. You're going to smell perfect. You're going to have the perfect amount of talents. You're going to be perfection. You are going to be a glorified being. And on this side of eternity, we fall short, right? And we struggle with frustration and discontentment and pride and all these issues. And we need to accept how God designed us. But I want to just encourage you. I mean, this is heaven. We're looking forward to heaven where we are going to be perfect in every way. And the biggest and most wonderful way is we won't even have to struggle with this sin problem. We will have a spirit that we can be with God for the rest of our lives. I want to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head.